You're listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev. Celebrate Canada's 150th and treat yourself to a brand new Silverado. 20% off MSRP cash credit on select vehicles right now at Lakewood Chev. Let's get to our top story, brought to you by PromoSports.ca. Get all your Eskimos jerseys, T-shirts, headwear, and signed and unsigned memorabilia today at PromoSports.ca as the Eskimos get set to take on the Hamilton Tiger Cats. Eskimos, of course, lots of changes again on their roster. Their kicking game has changed. Sean White is out. Hugh O'Neill is in. He hasn't kicked a field goal since November of 2014. Long snapper Ryan King is out. His brother Neil King's out at the starting safety, so Woodman will go there. Cole Kuhn injured himself in practice. He's on the sixth game. He's out at the corner. Mercy Mattson comes back in. They lose Joel Figueroa, who's been their best offensive lineman, I think, by far. He's been great at the left tackle. So Tony Washington moves from left. Batista comes off the PR. He'll play right tackle, where he did last few seasons for the Edmonton Eskimos. Perkins is the new running back for the green and gold. That'll be the third starting running back this season. It's only game six. Also, the Duke Williams out. And Getzlaff will start at his position, just because a Canadian ratio changer, but I think you'll also see Kenny Stafford in there. The Tiger Cats make a lot of changes of their own, as Marshall Ferguson, former quarterback, now the voice of the Tiger Cats on TSN 1150, joins us. Marshall, welcome back to the show, man. How you doing?
Much appreciated, guys. Is that all the changes that you guys have? That's nothing, eh?
I know. That was just for this week. I tried to do the shorter version of it. It's been a crazy start to the season for the Eskimos injury-wise. 20 guys on the either the sixth game, 18 of them, and then two on the one game. So it's nuts. But yeah, they're still winning. Ed Hervey obviously left them with a lot of depth in the organization. The Tiger Cats, meanwhile, when you're losing, obviously you're going to make some changes to their roster. What are the most significant ones you've seen this week?
The ones that I keep, keeping my eye on here is just this Alberta swing, because the game in Calgary, whether or not you want them to be connected, they are connected because of the players that they flew out here and the roster situation that they're in right now. The biggest one that I look at, because the offensive line was really the story at the start of this season for them, was being able to move Xavier Fulton out of that left tackle spot after an injury a couple of weeks ago against Edmonton, and bringing in a couple of new guys to play those tackle spots. So right tackle Quintarius Eatman in only his second start is going to be that right tackle. And then Lamar Holmes, who has been really solid for the Tiger Cats at right tackle after the start of the season where they had Jordan Swindle there, they kicked him over to left tackle after they had Xavier Fulton get injured. And it's only his second start at left tackle. So, I mean, you're talking about a team right now that's 0-5, that's struggling to find offense, and they're trying to figure out middle of the season what they're going to do with their offensive tackle and the bookends of the offensive line to protect their franchise quarterback. And they're doing that with guys who are only going into their second starts each at both ends of that line. And they're going to have to do it against, I don't know, guys like Marcus Howard and Euclid Cummings, Armando Sewell, Odell Willis. Like, it's not an easy task, and so that's why I think that's the most interesting matchup to me right now.
Well, as a quarterback, Marshall, I want to ask your thoughts, and I understand wanting to pass the ball all the time, but it just, I don't like their system in Hamilton playing out of the empty backfield so often. What do you think?
Yeah, it's frustrated a lot of people in Hamilton. You're not alone in that, and I've broken down not just, the run-pass, percentages in terms of what they actually run, but the play call percentages, because those are different. In the first couple of weeks of the season, essentially the Tiger Cats were calling pass plays, whether it ended up being an incompletion, a completion, a sack, a touchdown, otherwise, 91% of the time, guys. It was about 91% to 9% of the run. Now, that was with C.J. Gable in week one. They brought Ross Scheuermann in, and he kind of balanced things out for them in the last couple of weeks. And then all of a sudden, C.J. Gable's back in the lineup for these two-game swing in Alberta, and you're going back to pretty much what you saw before. The strange part of all of this is, too, that when C.J. Gable was in at the start of the game at Calgary, it was really the only success that they had on offense. At the beginning of that game, they were running the ball effectively. They slipped him out to the flats a couple of times, got the ball in his hands, and he's playing angry right now because he doesn't like having to take a back seat to anybody, because that's just not really who C.J. Gable is. So that style of offense that they've played, it goes back to the play calling. If you want to call it controversy at the start of the season, then I think it's fair to do that as to whether it was Stephen Potasik, the offensive coordinator, or if Kent Austin took back the responsibilities after week one for a couple of weeks. Has he handed them back now? It's a little bit murky. Are we really sure who actually has their hands all over the offense? I will tell you this, regardless of who is calling the offensive plays in the game itself, the guy who is designing the offense is absolutely Kent Austin, because I played under Stephen Potasik at McMaster, and I thought this season being his second as the offensive coordinator, you'd be able to see a lot more of his effect on the offense. And he has a very Canadian eye for the game and the way that it should be called and run. And so I was waiting to see that evolution and see things where during the game I could go, oh, wow, yeah, that's different. That's a creative way to run the football, or that's a neat way to be able to get to that type of play or that type of motion. I just haven't seen that. So it's definitely Kent's hands all over this thing, and I don't think that that run-pass percentage is going to change at all.
And it's the percentage is terrible. And the other thing, I was watching a lot of their games, Marshall, and so you look at the short side of the field, and it seems like the routes they're running on the backside aren't even ones that if he's kind of locked in on that side, he's got no options to go the other way. Or what are you seeing?
Yeah, it's one of those funny things about the way that they run their pass concepts in Hamilton. I mean, a traditional style of this, Jason, as you know, is just to be able to, you know, if you're reading one side of the formation and then you check to the backside and there's kind of catch-up routes. There's routes that are chasing the original ones that you were reading. Those are usually just your catch-up, your follow routes, whatever terminology you want to use. In Hamilton, it's a lot of let's take the defender's eyes away from where we're actually trying to attack and split the field in half. But you're right, if it's a two-man route and there's two defenders that take it away, well, now there's a four- or five-man rush that's getting closer to you, and when you flip your hips back to the other side, you're not necessarily seeing something that's catching up or running right into your line of sight that makes it easy to check a ball down. You're having to make a very difficult throw all the way to the wide side of the field or all the way completely from the other side of the field that you were originally targeting. So that does make it very tough. It makes it I think it explains why last week against Calgary when Jeremiah Masoli came in, when he got away from his first read, he just took off, because that's the type of guy that he is, that he's not going to throw the football unless he sees something that's open. And if he gets away from his first and his second read, then why not just use your athleticism? That's been part of the story in Hamilton, too, is that Kolaros just doesn't seem comfortable in the pocket, and it might not be because of the offensive line. There just might not be that separation right now when it comes to receivers getting away from really solid defensive backs like you have, even through all the injuries here in Hamilton. So if he's, and Kolaros I'm talking about, if he can't get through his first and second read, find somebody clean, if that pocket starts to collapse, and if he's not comfortable running, that puts you in a really, really tough spot. And that's when you end up finding a lot of very short check downs and little completions over the middle or two-yard gains rushing, where basically you're just pressing the rip cord and trying to get out of the pocket by all means necessary. You call 911 check downs, and it's anything to get the ball out of your hand. There's been a lot of that this season for the Ticats, which is why their yards per completion in the passing game is significantly down from the last couple of seasons.
Marshall Ferguson from TSN 1150 joins us. Tiger Cats taking on the Eskimos tonight. When these two teams met just 2 weeks ago yesterday, Edmonton was expecting them to play a lot of man. They switched up. They played a lot of zone defense and really kind of caught Edmonton off guard. In five of their first seven drives, they basically had 16 combined yards and then scored touchdowns on the other two. It was very Jekyll and Hyde. Do you expect Hamilton to go back to that, because that's what they've had the most success the last few weeks? If they watch the film, they'll look and say, hey, well, you know what? We were able to contain them in zone. Do you think they'll play zone, or will they go back to man-to-man?
It's one of the few times you're talking about in that Edmonton-Hamilton game where you've seen something for the Ticats where you've gone, wow, we out-schemed somebody. We've surprised somebody with a new strategy, a new approach to the game. I don't know why they wouldn't go back to that. I mean, it's one of the few times this season for the Tiger Cats where they can honestly say that we have put ourselves in a situation where we have shocked someone coming out of the gate, and we've been able to lay it on them in the early going. It's just not necessarily on the scoreboard, but in the game plan, because Mike Riley, as you guys know, that is by far the biggest beating that he took. You know, BC game aside last week, that's when he faced the most pressure, it's felt like, so far throughout the CFL season. And I honestly, guys, when I looked at what Edmonton did in week one on the road at BC, the most impressive part of that, outside of Phillip Hunt, who unfortunately ends up on the six-game list back then, and the way the defensive line as a whole played, was the offensive line. Because I think as a unit, even with the injuries to Joel Figueroa, as you talked about off the top there, there are a lot of guys on that line with a lot of pride that play as a unit. And I think Mike Gibson's done an amazing job as their offensive line coach, being able to kind of piece together a unit, not just a bunch of talented guys. So I love what they do, and I love the way their unit works. But Hamilton got after Mike Riley and caused pressure because, as you say, it was a different look. It was something that you can't really expect all the time. And so I do think that they'll go back to that, because I think it's a little bit of positive reinforcement that if it's worked before. Now, the problem with that is every time in Hamilton that we seem to think we understand Jeff Reinbold and what he wants to do with his defense, it typically goes the other direction, because sometimes he tries to take what is already understood about what he's going to do and change it up and try something different and unique. And that's when you start to kind of outthink yourself. And I think there's been a little bit of that on all three aspects of the game for the Tiger Cats in 2017.
With all the injuries to the Eskimos, do you see an area where Hamilton, even though their offense hasn't done much, is there an area they could potentially exploit defensively tonight?
The only one that I can really look at, and maybe it's because I don't know a ton about Mercy Maston, is Mike Jones as a wide side wide receiver for the Tiger Cats, especially as a national wide side wide receiver. I think we all understand that there's not a whole lot expected from those guys across the league. I mean, Chris Getzlaf is out there tonight for the Eskimos. Is he going to have 14 targets like Luke Tasker did last week against Calgary? I don't think so. Like, that's not what that spot is about traditionally in a CFL offense. But Mike Jones has been a bit of a bright spot for the Tiger Cats in that last year Spencer Watt had 21 catches at that same position. Mike Jones is on pace to beat that season total by about next week if he keeps up what he's been doing so far throughout the year. So to see, you know, moving Josh Woodman, who I know had that interception earlier on in that game against Hamilton in Hamilton, but to see Mercy Maston out there and to see Mike Jones, who's really kind of coming into his own as that wide side wide receiver, I think that that might be a favorable matchup for them just to be able to create some type of offense that's untraditional. Now, the bad part about that, honestly, Jason, is that when I look at it, I'm having to say that a wide side wide receiver might be your most reliable source of offensive production for the Hamilton Tiger Cats and a team that last week with their starting quarterback was 14 of 21 for 102 yards and no touchdowns, one interception. Like, saying that your wide side wide receiver is your best matchup is never something favorable. I'd love to be able to say to you from a Hamilton perspective, Damar Altman is an absolute hidden gem and he should be able to eat up Johnny Adams. But I don't believe that. I'm not going to lie to you. I would love to say that Brian Timms is going to be able to get after Gary Peters at the boundary slot back and the boundary halfback position. But last week, Brian Timms had no catches on three targets while playing at that boundary wide receiver. So there's just not a lot of matchups in the receiving game that are favorable for them right now. In terms of defense, I think that the linebacking core, having Larry Dean back at middle linebacker, is better for them. And then maybe it's a question about, you know, how effective is the running game going to be for Edmonton with Ladarius Perkins playing at that spot with Simone Lawrence back in. I think Simone will be playing angry because he had to take a week off, and he's not a fan of that, just like CJ wasn't a fan of missing a couple of weeks. But I don't know if there's a true matchup on the Hamilton defense right now where I can say that player is going to dominate a Bryant Mitchell or a Vidal Hazelton or otherwise, because those guys have shown throughout the season that they can get after it better than most in the league so far.
Marshall Ferguson from TSN 1150 joins us. Last night, Ricky Ray, and it's announced today, a 4 to 6 week shoulder injury for the Argos. The East gets weaker by the day, really, when you look at it. Ottawa, everybody says, wow, their record's better than they are, or they're better than their record states, but a lot of teams will always say, you are what your record states you are. So what's funny about the Tiger Cats, they could somehow find a way to get a victory. You know, they're not out of it by any stretch in the East.
Oh, don't go there, Jason. Come on. No, yeah, I get you. It's very much up at odds right now as to exactly what's going to happen in the East Division. You're so right. The first thought that I had talking to some people last week in Calgary was, okay, at what point are we looking at a crossover here? Because that's naturally where this is going to go if the season continues to unfold the way that it does. There's just something about this East Division where, you know, Montreal beats Calgary at home. That's a sensational win. It's the second year in a row they've been able to beat Calgary at home. But then Montreal will innately go on the road later on in the season and lose at Hamilton or something like that. Like, there's so much infighting in the East Division. Not that there isn't in the West, but it just so happens that when the East teams play anybody in the West, as we've seen in the standings with the last seven games being won by the West Division over the East, that you end up looking at it and saying, okay, so if there's infighting in the East and the East can't beat anybody in the West, that puts you in such a worse position than if there were infighting in the West Division and the West beats everybody in the East. Your direct competition, you're right, for the Hamilton Tiger Cats is the East Division to try to get a playoff spot. That is the goal. That is what they need to accomplish. And they've only played one game against a team from the East. So at this point, you would think that they are still in relatively good shape. But I'm more worried about the process than I am the end result. And when I've watched the Tiger Cats play throughout the first 5-6 weeks of the season here, I've seen a team that has some fatal flaws at this point and needs to get them corrected, whether you're talking about offensive line, defensive secondary playing the ball in the air, special teams being able to give themselves an opportunity where you're not shooting yourself in the foot, taking bad penalties or giving up big returns. It's things like that that I just think it doesn't matter if you are playing the University of Alberta, the Edmonton Eskimos, or, you know, the Toronto Argonauts. It just doesn't matter. If you don't do things the right way, you're not going to get wins. So that's the really, really interesting part of the Tiger Cats season. I hate to drop this on Edmonton fans tonight. Might not be the most interesting part of the CFL season for you or for fans in Hamilton. For Tiger Cats fans, it's going to boil down to what do you do against the East Division moving forward. For Edmonton fans, it's basically from this point forward, how do you solidify and get yourself rolling into a spot towards the back end of the season where you feel comfortable heading into the playoffs playing at a peak level. Two very different concerns and point of interest, but it's two teams headed in different directions as a standing show.
Marshall, great stuff as always, man. I'll see you down at Commonwealth tonight.
Looking forward to it, Jason. Thank you.
You betcha.